Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless you, we praise you. As we stand, Father, in the name of Jesus, at the threshold of a new year, we thank you, Father, for blessing us to this point. We thank you, O God, for watching over us and our families. We thank you, O God, for allowing your servant to stand today. In the name of Jesus, we ask, O God, in Jesus' name, that you will bless everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. We pray, O God, that this word will so pierce them that they will arise as a church. They will arise as individuals. They will arise and take their place in the destiny that you have called for this house corporately and individually. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for all that you've been to us, all that you've done for us. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In the name of Jesus, Spirit of Truth, we ask you to come and take your place in this service. We ask, O God, in Jesus' name, that you will reveal yourself to us in a personal way, that as we leave this service, we will never be the same. Oh God, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank God for him allowing me to be here today. I thank God that my brother is here. I thank God that my husband is here. Markel is running around somewhere. My daughter will be here shortly. I just thank God. There she is. They say she looks just like me. She's right there. I didn't even see you. Can't see the forest for the trees. But we thank God for everyone being here this morning. For everyone being here this morning. This house is the most unique house I've ever seen. When I first came to Prayer Center, I was under the impression that, you know, I came from a place that prayed. But when I got here, I found out that there were dimensions to prayer that I was unaware of. So I've been here now almost 10 years. And this time last year, my husband join me. And mind you, I was not in rebellion when I came. I came with his blessing. He, even though he did get mad at it, you got to hear his testimony. It's awesome. But I thank God that I'm here. And I thank God that you're here, because I am, me and Coker, I guess, are like the only two people that I know of that were literally born in Cleveland that are members of this church. So God sent all of you here for me. I thank the Lord for that. In this house, we have prayed. We have fasted. We have waited for God. We have seen many miracles in this house. And there's much more to come. We have seen the plan that the Lord has for this house. He has called us to enter into personal family relationships through our bread of life. That's every Sunday at 10 o'clock. He has called us to come close to him and wait on him in his presence at our Tabernacle of David every night at 7 o'clock. And now we have a new end. We have a new thing. He has called us to lead ourselves, preach to ourselves. He's called us to put off the old man of the flesh, put on the mind of Christ, through our Wednesday night leadership training. And that's every Wednesday night. Okay? So he's called us to do all these things. But even though we have all this preparation, we're making preparation for the presence of God. We're getting ourselves ready. Even though we're doing all of these things, still in our heart of hearts, there is a cry for revival. There is a cry for an awakening in us. And we're not the only people that's crying out to God for a move of God. We're not the only people that are crying for a move of God. There are others. There have been generations upon generations that have literally seen revival, have experienced revival. And some of us, you know, I guess today we're going to just set the record straight, because we just need to know a few things about this movement that we're crying for, this movement that we want, not only for our church, but in our individual lives. In our individual lives, if we would really, really, really get honest, we need reviving in some areas. Maybe not in all areas, but in some areas, we need revival. And so, just for my sake, can we take 2 minutes? I would like to see the hands of the people in this church that know they need revival, know that we need revival, okay? And how many of you, now we might know we need one, but how many of us want a revival? Because when you start saying you want a revival, guess what? I heard one lady say revival is not convenient. When you go from a church of this size to a church, I mean, imagine people all the way just to the other aisles of where we are. People are going to be pulling on us. With the days that you want to take a nap, you're not going to be able to take a nap. Somebody's going to need something. We have to be leaders and endure inconvenience. And you know, we really got to pray about that, because some of us don't do inconvenience well. I don't do change well. I didn't realize it. But I sometimes don't do change well. So this is what we're looking at. So I need just to give you a glimpse before I go any further. I need to give you a glimpse into what revival really looks like. And so what I did, I started studying revivals. And I'm going to take a few minutes just to tell you a few things. And one of the main reasons that God sends revival is because that particular generation is experiencing some things. There's a change. There's a decay in the moral standards in people's personal lives, moral decay in the nation. So what he does to correct that, he'll send revival. And here's some definitions of revival. And I'm going to give you some scriptures as we go. This is what revival does. Revival returns, recalls, and recovers to life from death or apparent death. Revival, and that I guess would be equal to someone drowning. They're out, you resuscitate them, they come back to life. That's one thing that revival does. A revival also returns, recalls, recovers activity from a state of laziness and sleepiness. Revival brings a holy shock to the lack of enthusiasm. That's what revival does. You know, you might say you've been in revival, but these are some things that you can look for. Isaiah 64, 1 and 3. Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heaven, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the water to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nation may tremble in thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we look not for, they came down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Another reason the Lord sends revival is to get his enemies' attention, to confront his enemies. Another definition: recall, return, recover from a state of neglect, of complete forgetfulness, unawareness, unconsciousness, is to recover you from a stupor. Another definition, last one: a revival of men to their spiritual concerns. It would awaken spiritual concerns. Revival is necessary to create spiritual movement. And one of the historians, Wallace, in his book, In the Day of Power, a church that is dormant becomes a church that's militant. That's what happens in revival. Revival will renew the mind. It will comfort, it will quicken, it will refresh with joy and hope. That's what revival will do. Psalms 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn away again to folly. He will restore you. He'll bring the joy. He will recover, but you cannot return back to your folly. Again, the man's name is Arthur Willis, and he said, revival is divine intervention in the normal course of spiritual things. See, we think that this is normal. The way we're living is abnormal. But revival comes, and it is a divine intervention in normal course of things. I love one of those programs on TV. It's called Intervention. And what they do, they have someone that's maybe on drugs or whatever, and then they'll bring them into a house, and they'll have all their family and all their friends there, and they confront them. And that's what revival does. Revival confronts and allows us to get in a normal course of spiritual things. It is God revealing himself. It is not something that starts on a Thursday and ends on a Friday. A lot of people have revivals. They call them revivals. That is not what a revival is. A revival is a manifested working of God that human personalities are overshadowed and human programs are abandoned. And the day you come in here and you're like, what are they doing? No. Revival has come. The awakening has come. When things are not normal anymore, you will know that you have stepped into revival. And it is God working in extraordinary power in the saint and the sinner. The saint and the sinner gets to get in on revival. So, another man, his name is J. Edwin Orr, he starts to call it the awakening. Okay? And he says this awakening is for individuals, it's for groups of believers, a congregation, a city, a country, and eventually the world. And three things are completed. The revived church will engage in evangelism. That's one of the first things they'll do. Not the only thing. I'm just throwing out a few things to you. It will awaken the masses. The movement of uninstructed people toward Christian faith, meaning a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds that have never seen a church, have no concept of church. You're going to look up and you're going to be standing beside these people. And as someone said that has come here, we, you know, just take our liberty sitting where we're sitting now. But there's going to come a time when we're going to have to find a seat. Are you going to be ready for that revival? I hope you notice that change. It went from revival to awakening, but it is the same thing. Why is God so involved in human dealings? It's because we were created for his pleasure. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So that's what revival is going to look like, just to give you a taste. So here we are on the eve of New Year's Day. Here we are. And a lot of times when people come to this point, they have mixed emotions. One thing that the world does, the world goes and they start assessing, and then you've got people, I tell you, New Year's is one of the days that more lies are told, because they make all these resolutions that they know they don't realize, but they make these resolutions that of what they're going to do, and the world doesn't realize they'll never get them accomplished without the grace and mercy of God. So here we are. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. I really don't know how your year went, but I want to encourage you that God knew everything. He knew every happening. He knew every loss. He knew it all before it happened. And if you want to know how I know he's helped you and me, it's because we're all here in his presence. We could not have been here with the things that we have been through this year without the help and the grace and the mercy of God. Now, as we approach this day, some may be a little sad. Some may be a little mad. But however the year has turned out for you, God saw you through it. And we thank God for that. Can we just thank him? Just take hallelujah. 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 He brought us up to this point. And even as close as we are, some people are not going to make it. And that's a sad thing, but we pray in the name of Jesus that if the Lord takes anyone that we know right now in Jesus' name, we intercede for them right now in the name of Jesus. We say, Lord, cover them with the blood. Send perfect laborers across their path in the name of Jesus. If you decide to take anyone we know in this house, Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray a perfect laborer will go across their path and lead them to Jesus. And lead them to Jesus. And lead them to Jesus. The very fact that you're here, we know and recognize it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. That you're flowing, that you're moving, that everything you're doing, that your hands are prospering in the name of Jesus. That you have a reason to live when you get up. That's because of Jesus. And we thank him for that this morning. And we want you to know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you." Listen at that promise. He said he's going to be found. "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away." We thank God. So this morning, this is what I'm hearing the Lord telling us, because I would venture to say that as we approach this day, there has been some spiritual things that we want to do better in. I would venture to say, the same way that the world has made resolutions, that we're making resolutions too. So I'll call this like a pre-consecration moment. Okay, because we know in a few days we're going to go into 7 days of consecration. But me, I don't know why, I always like to get a head start on consecration, because I'm thinking, Lord, what if somebody needs me? I can't be all toe up. You know what I'm saying? I need to help somebody else, because I know I can get toe up. If I stopped and told you some mistakes I felt like I had made just within the last 2 months, you would go, wow. Because I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. But guess what? Thank God we have a perfect God that loves us just the way we are. But he loves us too much to leave us like that. And that's love. And that's love. So today, with all our preparation, with all the things that are going on, we're going to just say, Lord, show us your glory personally. And I promise you, if he shows us his glory personally, if everyone in here had an experience and the Lord showed them, I tell you, this place would be full just from your testimony. Okay? So, there's not a problem with God bringing this revival or this awakening. We must prepare to receive. The problem is us receiving the awakening. And the reason it's a problem is because there are times in our life we get stuck, and the devil is ever present to tell you how stuck you are. And so you never reach out. You never reach up. You never go any further than you were, because you're hearing what the devil is saying. But I want to remind you of what the Lord said. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So today, I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. Today can be a day that you can have your personal awakening. Amen? So through all this research that I was doing on revivals, I was reminded of something that a friend of mine told me. And what the Lord gave her this word, right? And so she called me and told me, well, the word wasn't for me. But I was so convicted by the word that he gave her. It literally set me on a path to expect some things from God. So I'm going to share this with you. I'm telling you, this was for my friend. She gave this to me like in 2005. The Lord gave her this word. And the Lord brought it back up to me because it is so appropriate for where we're standing right now at the eve of the eve of New Year's. Okay? So just bear with me. We as Christians should want to see how we're doing in our relationship with God. This is the time of year that we should be concerned about, you know, how am I really doing? So at this time of year, like I said, businesses are assessing what they've got. On TV, you'll hear all the major networks talk about, you know, how well the economy did during the Christmas season and all this. So I'm encouraging you this morning, let us take just a few minutes and do our own personal assessment. Okay? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read you just a portion so you know where I'm coming from. I'm going to read you just a portion of what the Lord told her. I won't read all of it, but so you'll get where I'm going to be going to. It says, "My children, arise from your slumber. Arise and shake yourself. Assess the damage of your strength, which was stolen from you while you were in a state of slothfulness, sleepiness, and weakness. Assess the damage while you lay dormant and complacent to the enemy's snares." Don't ask me why that so convicted me, but it was like it was telling me there is a state, because we always hear rise from slumber. There is a state of slumber that we might possibly not even be aware of. And so the Lord was calling her to arise and shake herself. Okay? So to arise means to become active or vocal, to rise from a quiet and inactive place. And has there been anything in your life that has caused you to become inactive? Is there a place that you can think of, that you can go back to, an event, a person, someone tripping you up so bad you fell and you couldn't get up? I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to minister to you in that place if you're willing to let him, because he will not do anything that he's not allowed to do. So let us just prepare. Let us just concentrate. Just as you hear what I'm saying, just concentrate and allow the Lord to minister to you. There was a time, and now is the time, that we must understand and run after what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us. We're living in such a time. I don't have to go back through not just personal stuff, things that have happened in nature that should cause us to awaken. But because of these stages that I'm going to go over, we can't get up. We can't get up because in our mind we think we can't get up. But we can get up because the Word of God says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So the devil will put us in a place where we're inactive and we're in a quiet place. And you know, we haven't always been like that. Can you remember? Can you remember back to a time when, I mean, not to say you're not on fire now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, can you remember a time that you were more on fire than you are now? That you would wake up in the morning, the Lord would get you up, that you begin to pray, that the Lord would lay something on your heart, and you wasn't ashamed, you wasn't scared to call that person and tell them what the Lord told them, what the Lord told you about them. You wasn't afraid. But because of that sleeping position, people are dying and going to hell all around us. And we've got to ask for mercy this morning. We have to ask for mercy that we were not in the place that we should have been, but that we're, thank God, that we're on our way to the place. Because, see, he doesn't hold things against you. So if you haven't been where you think you should have been, but you're willing to go there now, then that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So let's go through some of the definitions. To assess means to evaluate, to judge something, to judge their worth, to review, to appraise. Damage is to deplete the soundness, strength, and effectiveness or perfection of something. Has your strength been damaged? Has there been something in your life that has caused you to fall? Today, God is right here waiting for you just to repent and to move on in him. You get permission to move on in him this morning in the name of Jesus. So strength, like I said, strength is the ability to exert effort for a purpose. Stolen is to take someone's possession illegally without their knowledge. So Isaiah 52:1-2 says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." So let's just quickly look at these four states of, I guess it's unconsciousness. Maybe someone can correct me. It would have to be unconscious. Okay, slumber. Slumber is sleep. To sleep lightly. To doze. Okay, like sometimes I find myself doing. Okay. The second one, slothfulness, is idleness, sluggishness, laziness, unwillingness. A state of sleepiness is quiet inactivity. The state of weakness is an attraction towards something. Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness casts man into a deep sleep." Slothfulness casts men into a deep sleep. Remember, slothfulness is idleness, sluggishness, laziness, unwillingness. It casts men into a deep sleep, and the idle person shall suffer hunger. So if you have slumbered, if you're slothful, I mean, this is what the Lord was telling this girl, okay? That she was slothful, that she's slumbering, that she's sleepy, that she's weak. And then what sets in is dormant and complacency. And see, we wonder why we're not pushing. We wonder why, Lord, why can't I get up and pray? I have a desire to pray. Lord, that lady just asked me to pray for her. And it's a week later. Man, I forgot to pray for that lady. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just not being aware. Just not being on it. Just not being on point. God wants us to be on point today. He wants us to arise. So here we see a big danger. We're looking at complacency. And we're looking at being dormant. And to be dormant is not actively growing. You're not even, she wasn't even growing in the Lord. She was in a state of inactivity. She was not developing in the Lord. Dormant. Complacent is self satisfying. Usually in an unreflective way, without being aware of possible danger. It's ease to please, eager to please. There is a big danger when you are looking at complacency. There is a big danger when you're looking at dormant, because what happens is, there is you've got to assess your damage, the damage of your strength that will take place. Strength has been stolen from you. Prime example, Samson. The story of Samson. Just to be a case study for what I'm talking about. Here we have Samson. He was a judge. He was, at that time, the strongest man alive. He was in a place where he shouldn't have been. He was doing things that he shouldn't do. And he ended up captive. It says, Samson had great strength, but he told his wife his secret. Samson was a judge over Israel. Samson was not supposed to be where he was. So the first question that we have to ask is, where are you? Where are you? This is not something you have to figure out today. In prayer, ask the Lord where you are, and then ask him to help you check out your surroundings. Are you in the enemy's camp? I was reminded of a big cruiser, a cruise liner. If you were in the middle of the ocean and you would turn the engine off of a cruise boat, okay? If you turn the engine off, you would drift from your original place. You would drift. So I submit to you that maybe we haven't consciously submitted to complacency, but maybe just the step by step, just the sleepiness and then the slothfulness, and then before you knew it, you had steered off course. I have good news for you today. You can get back on course. God is the course regulator. He can get you back in safe waters. He can get you back where you need today. Today, he can do this. So the recovery process is for us to shake ourselves. It's for us to arise. It's for us to assess the damage of our strength that was stolen. It was for us to check out our surroundings. It is to be aware of where you are in Christ. If you're in trouble, tell him you're in trouble. The word says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. So it's time for us to arise, assess our positions, move forward, become aware of our surroundings, assess the damage, and move to higher ground. Amen? So let's stand to our feet. Let's just handle some of this, and then I'm done, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. If Wes would, and he is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just please close your eyes. Thank you, Lord. It's time you're standing at the brink of a new year. And I've got to believe that we're not happy. Some of us might not be completely happy about everything about us. But God will come and visit you and revive you. God will come And he will send joy back into your heart. He will send hope back into your heart. If this has been a hard year for you, we pray that God will send the comforter to comfort you in the name of Jesus. But the fact remains, you are here. So that tells me that God is not finished with you yet. It tells me that he has a purpose and a plan for your life. It tells me that he is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think in our lives. If we would just submit to him. If we would just submit to him. There is so much activity going on in our soul realm. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. But that soul realm is the realm where our memories are. It's the realm where we store the good, the bad, and the ugly memories in the name of Jesus. It's the place where the devil tries to trip us up. So right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we'll just stand on that scripture that Pastor Carl taught. Why are you cast down? Believe in God. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Believe in God. So today, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we just, Lord, come to you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you will see us right where we are. We ask, oh God, that you will take our hand. We ask that you will lead us out of the dangerous waters that we have found ourselves in. And for those that are not in dangerous waters, we ask, oh God, that you would come even closer to them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you that you're calling us to arise. We thank you that you're calling us to shake ourselves. We thank you that we can assess the damage. And we thank you, Lord, that we can use the word of God and apply it to our lives. And we can put off all the works of the flesh. And we can put on the mind of Christ, which will help us, which will strengthen us, which will gird us. We thank you, oh God, that as we lay there dormant without life, inactive, and our faith was shattered and our faith was just almost null and void, that you stood over us, oh God, and you watched over us until we awakened. And when you told us to arise, I thank you, oh God, that we are arising right now in the name of Jesus. So we ask, oh God, in Jesus' name, that you bless every heart under the sound of my voice today. We ask, oh God, that you will stir them up. We ask that you will awaken them afresh and anew to their purpose, to the plans you have for them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you just take a moment right where you are, it's between you and God. This is between you and God. Because only you and God will walk over the threshold of 2013. So we're just asking you right now to find a place. Come to the altar if you need for me to help you pray. Just whatever needs to be done, just do it now in the name of Jesus.
Why? Please, I want you to hear this. Please, this is very serious. This is a transforming moment. I have heard the Spirit of the Lord speak many times, but this morning it was very clear from the vessel you just heard from. Sister Charity just came out this morning with a word from the Lord, not knowing what the message would be. Everything she read in her prophetic word is the same thing that was brought forth in the word this morning. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, God is calling us. Pastor Kwanda has literally yielded to the Lord to speak so explicitly from her. This morning, we want to be our brother's keeper. We want to help ourselves to break some things and to enter some things. Based on the word we received this morning, I want to encourage us to do this. Please, we need to help ourselves. And then as Wes sings that song, just for the next 3-4 minutes, I believe that some people are about to enter a new day in a very powerful way today. And that's what the word. So find 3 or 4 people or 5 or 5, just 5-6 people together, and together partner in that cycle, the circle, and begin to pray for one another, and then seek somebody. Just ask how we can impact this world. Bring an awakening within that circle. Just form a circle of 5 or 6 people around and begin to pray and begin to press in and begin to cry out and begin to receive this word and begin to break every area of stupor, of complacency, of whatever area that God wants to take us in, where he wants to rekindle a fire, where he wants to awaken a new dawn. Just cry out to the Lord in that cycle. Let the fire within your cycle burn this morning. Awaken, let it be a bonfire, and let it lit so heavily in your cycle. You might be the one to ignite the fire. Let somebody in your group be a lighter this morning that will help to push and burn that fire. And be sensitive to anybody in your cycle that needs to be prayed for. And you all will join. Yes, be sensitive. There's somebody in every group. Be sensitive to cover. Somebody this morning needs the united prayer of that cycle to break forth, to move forward, to nudge them into the nest where God wants them to be. The Spirit said, where are you? Where are you? Are you by yourself in a place where the waves are carrying you and you don't even know how to come, where to go? This morning, the wave of the Spirit, by the help of those around you, can steer you back to the place where again you are safe in the presence of the Lord. So cry out. I pray for somebody in that group to be sensitive, to ignite a fire within that group. I cry for this group to burn this morning, to be electrified by the Holy Ghost.